Continue a series of sermons on the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God, and I want to look at two this morning, the helmet of salvation and feet prepared to preach. Feet that are prepared to preach. In Ephesians 6 it says, having your feet shod. We don't use that word too much. Or when you say, how are your feet shod? Hopefully after the sermon you'll know what that means. And I hope that you'll have your helmet on and you have the assurance of salvation and understand a little more about redemption and salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Some time ago, I was given a book by someone in town that we were ministering to, and I get a lot of books given, and I buy a lot of books, and I have more books than I will ever get read. So occasionally, a book will sit on my shelf, and I read a little bit of it, and it's entitled Out of the Devil's Cauldron, and it's a story of John Ramirez and his journey into Santeria witchcraft as a third-ranking high priest of a satanic cult. So you can kind of imagine how that book would maybe lay on the shelf a bit, and kind of it takes a while to get through it. I started and I stopped, and then my brother-in-law this Christmas, Steve, Connie's brother, has been a counselor at Pure Life for many years, and we were talking. And he said, you got to read this book. And I said, well, I have that. And I said, I kind of stalled. And he said, he laughed. And he said, you got to pick it up again and get to the end. So this week, I did that. Got into the end. And I got to a place where I couldn't lay the book down. And it was good because the part that was just so encouraging to me was how he came in contact with people who preached Jesus. Yes, to people like this. There were people who said a word for Jesus and preached about Jesus and talked about Jesus to this man and a church that... some parts of the story I was trying to imagine, and I wouldn't have felt real comfortable going in like this church did and this family did. It was a backsliding Christian who got involved with him. And anyway, the parents invited him to church, and this church apparently was quite spiritual and engaging in preaching the gospel and singing praises to the Lord. He stood back and he was amazed at how these people loved each other. They even gave each other kisses. And I was reading this and I was just imagining our church being a church like this and asking myself, can our church be this kind of church? And yeah, one Sunday the pastor was preaching, led of the Spirit to just invite anyone up to the altar to pray. And he was in such a warfare, and he went up. He was praying over the people, and did they ever have a battle that morning in church? And they invited him back. He came back again. And they just kept on. Wasn't just a once-and-done experience to get a man like this delivered. So there was people praying and singing, and one man who was in some of this himself came up and he helped him to say, Jesus is Lord. And I want you all to say this after me. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
That's not that hard, is it? Do you believe that? This man just helped him to say, Jesus is Lord. And just engaged in warfare. Now, I wouldn't wish this type of warfare on anyone, but there's a good story, and he's now ministering. He got involved in the Times Square Church and knew David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz personally, and he had a story as well, being called out of the darkest places of sin because there were people who were willing to preach. There were people who were willing to engage. And we're going to get into the scripture where the scripture says, how will they ever call upon someone they've never heard? How will they ever hear without someone preaching? Or how will they believe in someone who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach except they're sent? Beautiful feet that preach the gospel. So there's a void in the heart of all people outside of Jesus Christ. He talks about his experience. He was at a young age led into this because of his family and many of the things. He got caught up and wrapped up in this, but there was an emptiness and there was a void inside of his heart that was filled with this Santeria witchcraft. And he grew to a very strong high priest, and he loved his power. There was a part of his heart that loved that. It filled a void that was in his heart, an emptiness that was in his heart. And there is an empty feeling, a lost feeling, a hopeless feeling in everyone outside of Christ. People do many things to fill that void with many things, leaving people feeling empty and lost and hopeless. There is also a vacuum inside of every heart that is drawing them, and this vacuum is shaped like Jesus. It's a drawing, a longing, an emptiness that's longing and wanting to find fulfillment. It's described as a vacuum. There's just something inside of every person. They don't know what it is. They need someone to help them understand it. And he talks about that being filled in his life with witchcraft and then replaced with a relationship with Jesus Christ and bringing true peace. So God reaches down from heaven to the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. He reaches down, down, down to everyone in the whole world and brings salvation to everyone who believes. God reaches down, and we need to look up, and we need to be ones that have eyes of faith to look up, and God will reach down. And what a blessing it is to experience a relationship with Christ and salvation, and we're going to look at that as our battle. So turn to Ephesians 6 to start here again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore." So because of this, the battle is described in verse 12 as wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And because of that, there's a plea for everyone to put it on or to make sure that you are fully armed and that you are equipped with the weapons that God gives for every Christian to stand. So some of these are offensive weapons and some are defensive weapons. And I believe when we have truth and when we have righteousness, when we have faith, we are prepared. We have salvation. We are prepared to go use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and also having feet that are shod and ready to go. This is not just for protection. Now salvation, we're going to look at salvation. I want to tie these two together. And salvation is essential, and it is what brings us into a relationship with God and into the family of God. So without salvation, we're not prepared at all for the battle. But when we have salvation, when we have the faith and truth in place, and we are growing in these, we are then ready to engage. And that's the point that was impressed upon my heart, is that everyone is called to preach the gospel. My ministry, engaging with a Jehovah Witness some time ago, he asked me a question: does your church believe that everyone is called to preach? And I said, yes. Hopefully everyone here would agree with that. That's one thing that they do good at, and they go out. And I was trying to, he thought that their group was the only group that preaches, everyone preaches. And I said, well, I think we believe that, and I think we all are called to preach. And we want to engage as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. I believe we're called into deeper levels of preaching. It's not only from the pulpit, but preaching. The first point is preaching the gospel, and then the second one is the helmet of salvation. Preaching is God's method of saving souls. So I believe there is something very important about preaching and anointed preaching. I think there are men that are called to preach. There are evangelists, and it is a calling, and God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save souls. So I think there's something beautiful that's happening in your heart and life growing up, hearing under the preaching of God's Word Sunday after Sunday. And what is happening in your heart when you hear the Word of God? Something is happening that you maybe are not aware of and do not appreciate, but someone said it this way, that you don't remember all the meals and what you ate in the last year for every meal, but hopefully all of you had good meals all throughout the year, and there's things happening. You're nourished and you're fed. And the same thing is happening. You don't remember every sermon that was preached in the last year either, but there is something happening. You're being fed spiritually. The Word of God, you hear the Word of God, you're left with a choice, and you're more responsible because you know the Word of God, you're hearing the Word of God. And I believe that's God's heart, that every part of the world would be filled with anointed preaching, a preacher, and many preachers. And then I believe there's also, outside the church, wherever we go, we look at this, feet shod. Having your feet shod is one of the parts of the armor, spiritual armor that we are to put on. So what does the feet shod look like to you? I asked Connie if I can come to the pulpit without shoes on. And she said I can if I check my socks, make sure there's no holes in the socks. So I didn't check my socks. So I didn't take them off. But I think that's what this means, having your feet shod, shoes on. Or you are, everyone who is saved and brought into the family of God, you need to consider yourself everywhere you go, have shoes on. Now we can get a hold of that, right? Getting shoes on. You are called to duty all day long. Everywhere you go. Yesterday I got a call. Casey said there's an accident up in the square. You ought to go. Dad should go up and check it out. And so Dawson and I went up. And you never know what you will be called to, who you will be asked to pray for, who you are to give a word of encouragement to. And I want everyone to think about what this looks like in your spiritual life, in your Christian lives, to have feet that are fitted with shoes, the right size, so as Christians, we grow. We start out, no matter what age we come to the Lord, we start out as babies and infants, and we begin to grow. So we're not called into the heavy assignments as young Christians. We have the right size shoes, but everybody can just say, Jesus is Lord. We can say, Jesus loves you. People said to this man that I talked about, Jesus loves you. I want you to know how much Jesus really loves you. And just words like that can really reach someone's heart. So having your feet fitted with shoes of the gospel of peace allows us to be ready to share God with others at any time and all the time. At work, yes. Church, yes. Neighbors, yes. Everywhere, just be ready. And feel a sense of duty is the biggest thing. We cannot come to the place where we say that, I come to church Sunday and now I'm good till next Sunday. No, we go out from here and then we engage in all of our life. And I've said it already and before, and I believe it's true. It's a strong statement, but I believe it's true that if the gospel message does not get beyond these four walls, we are not genuine. And you think about that. We're not coming together only for the building up of the saints, but we're leaving here and we're taking to the world what God has given to us. And so we go out and we come together, we're strengthened and edified, build up, and then we go out and we are to engage. And I will also say this, that this is something that we must grow in. It takes a level of faith. It is not always easy to know what to say. It is not always easy, but it's something we grow in. And we learn from our mistakes and we engage. There were recently two Mormon missionaries that I met in the alleyway right here a couple weeks ago. They were looking for Holly Weaver, and they were going down to 10 North Chestnut Street. I said, well, I'm her dad. And two Mormon missionaries that I don't know where she met them or they were out spreading the Book of Mormon and talking about the Book of Mormon, and they were coming back. Two more came back, and so I enjoyed that conversation, learning more about the Mormon religion and some of the errors that they believe. But I was impressed that they were at least going out, two young people, young girls, and they were going out. And then they sent two more out because they thought there's somebody that's searching here. Anyway, I enjoyed that conversation, and I was motivated to bring that to our church, where we would be those, maybe not in the same way, but just everybody going out and just learning to talk about the Lord. These are young teenagers. They knew their religion quite well. So that would be a blessing to be those kind of people. Also, we were together at Kent and Diane, and I know Kent's dad, Sid, and he met Holly at the gas pump and asked her, what's that covering on her head? And he told me about that. He said Holly did a pretty good job of explaining it, which I was glad for. But sisters, I think that's good to be ask about your faith. And we want to be people that can really go to the Bible, not just say, well, I do it because dad said so or whatever, but we can go to the Bible and we have answers that are well grounded in Scripture and point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, being ready to give an answer I'm going to use Romans chapter 10 for this sermon. We need to move on. Romans chapter 10, where we have the method of evangelism given here. And it is in verse 14, it says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So you stand back, you say, how will they call, or how will someone call on the Lord if they never heard? Is that possible for someone to call on the Lord or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in if they've never heard about him? So you see the method that we have. The church is to be sending. All of us are to be preaching. And then we want everyone in the whole world to at least hear. And then some will believe. And then there's this calling on the name of the Lord. Just an all-out surrender of everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a salvation happening. But sending, I would like to see every church be a sending church. Now, Marystown, for years, have been sending. And I'm thankful for that. That ever since I remember, maybe not always, but most of the time, there's been missionaries in the field, and they're sending. There were three families from Marystown, three or four that served in Grenada. Currently, there's a family that's being prepared for ministry to the Turkey, Philip, Indiana. Two families in Mexico and singles. There's many in the field. They're a sending church. And our family was sent from Marystown into this town. And it was a sending church. So the question is, how will they preach if you're not sent? So if you're not sending, how can the gospel go into all the world if the church is not sending? And then how can we preach? So there is something going along with sending, the church sending, and people called to preach. And I like to think of that as we have a specific commission and call to preach the gospel here in Shenandoah, all of us, to share the good news and live here and work in this area. It's our field that we're called to labor in. And then you have some that believe. They hear time and time again the preaching and those that are sharing. There have been some that have come to the Lord that I know and had a wonderful privilege of an older man, Jim Schaefer, who came to faith and died shortly after that. And what a blessing that is to see some believe and call upon the name of the Lord and surrender their lives to the Lord. So I believe that all are sent out into the world to preach the gospel, and that's what this feet shod means, that we are prepared to preach. And I also believe that churches are to send to the foreign mission fields, and as churches grow and as churches have opportunity, it is a blessing and a healthy sign to be sending and engaging in the Great Commission to go into all nations and to preach the gospel to every creature. And so I think that's a healthy sign when a church is doing that and able to do that. Lord willing, if God opens up the doors, our church is preparing for that. Riley and Katharine are preparing their hearts for that, and I think that's a healthy sign when God is calling and churches are sending. The work of all nations is to reach those that have never heard. And they partner with churches and work together with churches as sending churches. But their mission statement is to provide Bibles in churches to those that have never heard. And I, thinking about this and studying, I'm not sure how to reconcile that. There's places in the world that there's never been a church, there's never been a Bible, and there's never been a chance. So the question here in this verse is, how will they ever believe if they never hear? How will this ever work, except there's a preacher there? So preaching the gospel, it's everywhere. Everyone is called to different places, different assignments. But what happens is beautiful when people hear and come to the Lord as a result of preaching. So let's get our shoes on, keep our shoes on, I should say, and keep on preaching the Word of God wherever we go. Second point is salvation by faith. And I want to use the verse here in chapter 10, verse 8. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Now, I pull out that verse because it's sandwiched right in the middle of the next verse. Is, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." This verse is very, very beautiful picture of the word of faith which we preach. And just to bring it into context, chapter 10 starts out with a comparison of a righteousness which comes according to the law and a righteousness which comes according to faith. And Paul is talking about Israel not accepting a righteousness that comes by faith, and rather seeking to obtain a righteousness according to the law, and they missed Jesus Christ, their own Messiah. And he says that a righteousness, Moses describes the righteousness which comes by the law, that the man that doeth those things should live by them, but the righteousness which comes by faith speaks like this. We don't go up to heaven to bring Christ down, and we don't go down into the abyss to bring Christ up, but he's right here. And I love that. It's even in your mouth and it's in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. That's what he's saying in verse 8. So I wrestled with, what does that look like, trying to go up to heaven to bring Christ down and trying to go down to the abyss to bring Christ up, rather than believing that he's right here. He's in your heart and in your mouth. When you open up your mouth, Jesus comes out. It's right here. And every person that you come into contact with can get a hold of Jesus. That's what he's saying. The word of faith which we are preaching, it's right here. And it's in your mouth and your heart. And so I think these two components are very important. The book I was reading, when he was getting delivered, in the process of his deliverance, there was a period of time where he was saying it with his mouth, but not his heart. And I said, that's key. He was trying to live in both worlds, and there was a time when he wanted to reach out and receive Jesus, but he still wanted his powers, and he still wanted his world of witchcraft, and he still wanted this third-ranking high priest, which was hard to let go of. And I said, that is key. We must be able to say it with our mouth, and we must be able to believe it in our heart. And so we're saying it with our heart and our mouth. We need to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of faith. And you unpack this word believe. It includes confession, repentance, obedience, and faith, and all of that many times are summed up in one word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you cannot just say it's a theology. You believe in Jesus, it needs to be an all-out experience where you are just letting, you're wrestling through this whole world of sin, this whole self-centered lifestyle. You're wrestling through a sinful life. Do I want to go my own way, or do I want to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I want to go all out for Jesus? And there's a time you must come to the place where you say in your heart, I'm ready to surrender all. That's what it means to say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. And this is the word of faith that we preach. You must be willing to let go of it all. In my ministry, I've had so many people come and want me to come into their home and drive the evil away. And they have the understanding that ministers and priests and those that are in ministry can come in and say prayers and everything, devil's gone. And over the years, I've learned I need to tell them and explain to them, you must be willing to get your trash can. You must root these things out of your heart. You must be willing to come to the place where you say, I am willing to burn it all and I am willing to get rid of it all. When I said that, you must have a bonfire and a trash can. They say, I can't do that. It's my grandma's. Well, then just keep living with the bondage. Because you must come to the place, salvation by faith. Here as it's described, the helmet of salvation is involving confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins. So many verses talk about confession. If you confess with your mouth, if you're willing to confess your sins, God is able to forgive you. So confess, just releasing and admitting and acknowledging sin. But then also from the heart, believing unto righteousness. And we looked at righteousness, which involves imputed righteousness and also imparted living righteously, which is the breastplate of righteousness. We cannot go on living in the sinful patterns and expect to be protected and expect to grow in our walk with God and expect God to do all these great things unless we're willing to turn our back on sin and call out on God and just let and allow Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. So that's what happens when we are willing to preach. I'm humbled that some people have told me that for years, just talking to them and sharing with them, and when they came to the Lord, they told me, look, Dale, I remember everything you ever said all those years. I remember it all. And I'm like, wow, why did it take this long? Just faithful preaching the word is very powerful. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. There you have the word of faith, which we preach. It's right here. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. I think God wants us to have assurance of salvation as well. And I want to just share a few verses. 1 John is a familiar chapter to go to for assurance of salvation. It says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. So I believe God wants us to have that assurance lit in our hearts that we are children of God. I want to just use Ephesians 1 in closing on assurance of salvation. Ephesians 1:19, it says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Paul is saying here to us, I want you to all know, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you can know the power that is invested to us as Christians, that you would experience that and know what for power we have. Sometimes we are called into some of the dark areas of the world. We run into some of these practices of Satan worship and all kinds of things that go on in the world and life of sin. But Paul's saying here, I want you to know the power that you have in Jesus Christ. It far exceeds all principalities and all powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world and that which is in this world. But so this is the power that is invested to the believer that we need to grow in our assurance, yes, and walk and live in that. Wherever we're called, remember, there's power in the Word. I've had times and very difficult times where we just opened up the Word of God and just read the Word of God. And the devil doesn't like it. Read to him Revelations. And read to him scriptures like Ephesians chapter 2. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Scriptures, we have the power in Jesus Christ. We have the power of the Word of God. We have the power, and I think God wants us all to grow in our assurance of salvation so that we know who we are in Christ, that we know Jesus is working in our lives, that we know that we're saved. And I know that is something we wrestle with, and Satan wants to take that away from us. And when we're not sure of our salvation, we will not be ready to engage in spiritual warfare like I referred to. But when we know who we are, we can go right into the world and right into dark places of the world with this power and this assurance. So in conclusion, we're all called to preach the gospel. Let's engage the best we can, wherever we can, every place we go. We have our feet shod, or we're prepared to share a word for the Lord. God may call on us to share with someone in time of need. We have many opportunities wherever we go, every day of our life, to speak life into people we come in contact with. So let's have our feet shod. And let's rise to the task. Salvation is a gift from God that comes to all who believe with their mouth and with their heart. If you have the opportunity to share with someone, take it, do it, continue doing it, and let God do the rest of the work. He brings the increase. So God bless you as you engage in spiritual warfare this coming week, this coming year, and all through your life. Let's stand strong for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scripture we looked at this morning, the duty and the privilege of being saved, and the responsibility that comes along with it. And I pray that we could be faithful as a church, to be a ascending church, a preaching church, a victorious church, a church that's here making a difference in the town in which we live. Give us humble hearts. Give us hearts of of a servant, and I pray that your name could be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.